Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. We start with the good, and we actually have a story involving Bernie Sanders that doesn't involve polls of him passing Hillary Clinton in Iowa and New Hampshire. It actually relates, Jim, to his appearance on Monday at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. That, of course, is the school founded back in the early 70s by Jerry Falwell. Not exactly where you'd expect Bernie Sanders to receive the greatest reception, but he did get a very good reception, not necessarily because people agree with him, but because they're open to hearing speakers who have different viewpoints than a lot of the students. They have a weekly convocation. Mr. Sanders, according to the Washington Times, accepted a personalized Liberty University football jersey from the school's president, Jerry Falwell Jr., who noted that the fans of the candidate had been seated in the front rows of the audience, which numbered about 9,000, according to early estimates. The fans made themselves known throughout the lawmaker's appearance. He took questions on a lot of different topics. He admitted that they don't agree on abortion and gay marriage, but obviously said there are other issues he thinks they should be very interested in, like poverty and health care and insurance and so forth. The event ended with a prayer for the nation as well as for Mr. Sanders himself. Jim, hard to imagine one of these universities with the trigger warnings and the safe zones responding that politely to somebody from a conservative perspective.
Yeah, it's just about unthinkable that somebody like, let's say, Ben Carson would get this kind of a reception. Emphasize polite reception, not necessarily a reception of agreement. If he were to speak at Berkeley or Brandeis or Tufts or any one of the ones that's going seemingly round the bend. I also kind of liked this particular exchange, Greg. David Nasser, the university's senior vice president for spiritual development, asked Sanders directly to reconcile his view that he wants to safeguard the most vulnerable without protecting the child in the womb. And apparently there was deafening applause for about 20 seconds. Now, you know, Sanders came out and said, look, you know, I don't think it's the job of government to do that. And, you know, conservatives are hypocrites. I mean, like, you know, Bernie Sanders didn't give an inch. But you know what? This is kind of what debate in this country is supposed to be. This is a diehard liberal slash socialist coming out and making his case to a conservative audience without fear, without being shouted down, without a heckler's veto. And you're right. We don't see this same kind of commitment to free expression and free debate and just simple respect for other people on liberal campuses. And, you know, places like New York Magazine are already noticing this. You know, gee, liberal campuses, maybe you should try to take a page from Liberty University. I also think it's very interesting that he didn't. I don't think he changed many minds there. He says there was a smattering of applause for his defense for abortion. But again, this is what the way politics is supposed to be. And I think what's, you know, this is a good martini, but I think kind of the bitter aftertaste of this martini, Greg, is that it's actually so rare in America today.
Yeah, absolutely the case. Absolutely
it's news case. When somebody speaks on campus without being shouted down.
Right. Yeah. To an audience that is not inclined to support what he's talking about. So great job, Liberty. And kudos to Bernie for going there. And whatever you think about Bernie, he actually believes that stuff, even though it would lead the country in a disastrous direction. All right, on to the bad martini now. And for those who are paying attention, the Pope will be in town next week here in Washington for a couple of days. He's going to address Congress. He's going to meet with the president. And that's where we focus on the bad martini. This is from LifeSite News. A pro-abortion nun, the first openly gay Episcopal bishop, and at least two openly gay Catholic activists will be among the thousands greeting Pope Francis at the White House next week, thanks to decisions by the Obama administration. LifeSite News has confirmed that Mateo Williamson, a biological woman who identifies as a man and former chairman of the Transgender Caucus for Dignity USA, received an invitation to the White House. Also, Gene Robinson, a lot of folks remember him. He was the first gay Episcopal bishop. Dissident Catholic nun Sister Simone Campbell, executive director of the Social Justice Group Network and pro-abortion leader of Nuns on the Bus, will also attend, as well as gay Catholic blogger Aaron Ledesma. So, Jim, I don't think anybody would be surprised that the president would bring up these issues with the Pope. But if you were to twist this into a different type of approach where, say, the Grand Ayatollah of Iran was coming or Imam from the Middle East were coming, do you think the president would be throwing the people that are most likely to disagree with him into a meeting at the White House?
Yeah. And I just make two observations here, Greg. One is, remember when Michelle Obama said, for the first time in my adult life, I'm proud of my country?
Yes.
I'm really embarrassed by my president right now. This is a real thumb in the eye of the visiting Pope. And what's fascinating is No surprise to anybody, this pope does not, you know, neatly fit into any particular niche. This is, again, you know, the Catholic Church traditionally never has. They've always been very much for a strong social safety net and for public spending on the poor and things like that, things that we might kind of see as being too close to big government, creating a certain dependency on government spending, things like that. But it's always been an anti-gay marriage and, you know, anti-abortion organization. And it's one of the things that's caused headaches for politicians on the left and the right. Here comes Pope Francis making this case very much more strongly emphasizing the economic side, or at least that's, you know, the impression you'd get from reading the Western press. And here is a pope that this president would have at least some common ground with. And you'd think that you'd want to roll out the red carpet and not be disrespectful. And President Barack Obama has to do this, right? He can't just let it go. He can't just let it be. He can't accept that the pope disagrees with him. He's got to do this little trolling, you could say, in this White House event. I'm kind of appalled by this. This really is, I think, a revealing of the character of President Obama. That he is not capable of graciousness. He is not capable of being a warm, welcoming host. And instead, he's got to do these little kind of metaphorical middle fingers to a man who undoubtedly does not deserve it. Just an embarrassing moment for the White House, an embarrassing moment for the country in this decision making of this president.
Okay, on to the crazy martini now. And this is from your colleague Joel Gerke at National Review. Of all the things that Congress has to worry about, the Iran deal and all sorts of other things, a top House Democrat wants Congress to investigate fantasy sports websites that have thus far evaded restrictions on online gambling. Representative Frank Pallone of New Jersey cited FanDuel and DraftKings as particularly prominent daily fantasy sites. Quote, anyone who watched a game this weekend was inundated by commercials for fantasy sports websites, and it's only the first week of the NFL season. He went also on to say, and as Joel points out, with no evidence whatsoever, that players in the NFL who take part in fantasy football might actually be altering the outcomes of the game so they can win their fantasy matchups. Jim, I guess Frank Pallone decides what issues to take on by what commercials he watches.
Once again, Congress is getting obsessed with a needless distraction when there are much more pressing and serious problems facing the country. And you know who's to blame for that?
Who's that?
Frank Pallone. The two Norm MacDonald fans in our audience are like, yes, I get that reference. I'm thinking of the congressional hearings into steroid use in baseball. I'm thinking about the Arlen Specter's investigation into the spy gate of the New England Patriots, which, by the way, apparently, you know, terrified Roger Goodell. I find those ads as annoying as the next guy. But I mean, if we're really going to have Congress investigate people who create annoying ads, aren't they going to have to investigate themselves? Unless you have some sort of serious evidence of somebody, you know. Well, I'm not on my own fantasy team, but my teammate is, so I'll lateral it to him so that he gets the score. I could be wrong. I think they're just trying to not get tackled out there. You know, unless you've got some serious evidence you're sitting on Frank Pallone. And here's the thing. If Frank Pallone wins his fantasy league by a lot week one, then maybe we understand what's going on there. So I just have this nagging feeling that he took Johnny Manziel in week one. And our government at work, Greg. Way to go, Frank Pallone.
I'm sure these guys, you know, how hard it is to make an NFL roster to actually get on the field. They're more concerned about the comparable pittance they could be making in fantasy football to keeping their jobs.
One last observation there, Greg.
Yes.
So Frank Pallone, as we're having this conversation, I'm looking this up. I'm like, man, he's been around a long time. And I'm realizing that he, you know, was my congressman back when I lived in New Jersey in my high school years. He was elected in 1988. And I'm 40 now. That's a long time. He's been a congressman for a really, really long time. Maybe it's time for some new blood, Central Jersey. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, very good. Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.